إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide, and whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to go astray, there is none to guide aright. أما بعد، فمعظم المشاكل التي يقع فيها الإنسان سواء على مستوى الفرد أو مستوى الأسرة أو الشعوب والجاليات تكون بسببين. السبب الأول هو اختلاط الحقوق مع الواجبات، يعني الإنسان ما يعرفش إيه حقوقه وواجباته، ولا الثاني هو اختلاط الأولويات، وهذا ما نركز عليه اليوم إن شاء الله. So most of the time when a person or a community or a country has a problem, most of the time, and this is what I think based on all the years that I've served as an imam in North America, most of the time is because of two things. Number one, people don't know their rights and their obligations. حقوق والواجبات. And number two, the priorities are missed up. Priority number 15 is now number one, and priority number one is 27. So this is what happens most of the time. مسألة الأولويات وهو ما نركز عليه اليوم إن شاء الله. قالوا الأولويات حتى في الفقه في شيء اسمه فقه الأولويات، هو معرفة حقائق الأمور وتقديم ما حقه التقديم وتأخير ما حقه التأخير. So in the books of fiqh, they even have a branch in jurisprudence. It is called الأولويات، فقه الأولويات. Prioritizing, or the fiqh of priorities. And this means that you understand the reality of things, you know what is more important and what is less important. And this will make you live an easy and a decent life, because now you know what is more important than the rest. So for example, مسألة العبادات مثلا، ليست كل العبادات على نفس المستوى، في فرائض وفي سنن، في واجبات وفي مباحات. So in عبادات, for example, acts of worship, they don't have the same significance and importance in Islam. So for example, some عبادات are fard, they are important, like the five daily prayers, and there are some sunan, for example, like Salatul Tarawih. How many times you have seen a Muslim who comes every night in Ramadan to the masjid, they never miss a Tarawih, and they don't even come for Jummah. So the priorities are missed out for them. Some of them, they fight with their boss or their manager to make it to Salatul Eid, and they don't pray five times a day. So this is what I'm talking about, prioritizing. Of course, you are required to do all of them, but some are more important than others. So this is what we mean by priorities in ibadat. الأمر الثاني، يعني حتى في الواجبات كما ذكرنا العبادات وكذا، بعض العبادات أهم من بعض، وكذلك المحرمات بعضها أكثر جرما من بعض. So even in haram prohibitions in Islam, some things are more prohibited or forbidden than others. So الكذب على الله سبحانه وتعالى ليس كالكذب على غيره. So when you make a lie against about Allah سبحانه وتعالى, it's not like making a lie about a human being. So when you say, for example, that Allah has a son or children, or Allah doesn't exist, this is worse in Islam than saying that Imam Mustafa doesn't like biryani, for example, because they do. So lying about Allah is not like lying about human beings. Some is worse than others. حتى بيقولوا جلب أو دفع المضار مقدم على جلب المصالح. They say bringing about
or removing a hardship for someone is better or is prioritized in Islam than bringing about good. Say, for example, you want to paint your house and you owe money to the bank, like $5,000, and you have $5,000 in your house. Do you have to use this money to pay off your debt and the interest, to get rid of the interest, or paint your house? Some people don't know. So in this case, you have to pay off the debt first. So removing a hardship or something haram is more important than bringing about something good. They say in Yarmouka, and we studied a long time ago, that saving someone is more important than giving them nasiha. Like someone is swimming in Lake Ontario and the person is drowning. And you see, when you go to save them, that he has a golden ring in his hand. So when you tell him, you are bad, I need about 15 minutes to give you 15 hadith from Bukhari about how haram or terrible where it goes for men is. No, you need to save them first, then talk to them about haram things. Okay? So you need to prioritize. They say even if you have a dawah, an emergency, the rights of human beings are prioritized over the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know, for example, when it is time for salah, it is time for salah. But in some cases, doing something else takes precedence over salah, for example. Like someone is dying, we're praying jama'ah in the masjid, and the house next to the masjid is on fire and someone is dying. We have to cut off salah and go and save somebody's life and come back. So what if your son is desperate to get married? He's 19 or 20 or more and he wants to get married. You have $10,000 in the house or in your bank account. You need to use that money for Hajj. And your son is desperate. If you don't marry him, tomorrow he's going to be in the paper the day after tomorrow. A 19-year-old man kidnapped a 65-year-old girl. Okay, whatever you call it. So in this case, you need to get them married first because the guy is desperate that he will fall into haram before you do it, okay? And so on and so forth. The examples are so many in the Quran and in the Sunnah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam كان يعرف هذا الأمر. So when you look at the Quran, you look at the Sunnah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew all of this, subhanAllah. So I'm going to share with you some of the examples to see how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prioritized. And I give you at the end, why we have problems in our lives, by giving you some examples. So, المتطرف القرآن مثلا الآيات التي نزلت في مكة الصور المكية 13 سنة دائما تتكلم عن التوحيد. ما فيش كلام عن الخمرة ولا كلام عن الصلاة ولا ما فيش. إنما في الصور المدنية في كلام عن الصلاة والعبادات وكذا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصور المدنية لما سهيل بن عمرو رفض أن يكتب هذا مع هذا عليه محمد رسول الله وقال لا اكتب محمد بن عبد الله خلاص انت مش رسول الله. فوافق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لانه الصلح اهم من التايتلز ومن التسميات. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في البخاري ومسلم لما اخبر عائشه رضي الله عنها لولا ان قومك حديث عهد باسلام لهدمت الكعبه وبنيتها على قواعد ابراهيم. ولكن هو ترك ذلك لانه يعني تاكيد ايمان وتقويه ايمان الناس اهم من توسعه الكعبه او اعادتها على اصولها. So when you read in the Sunnah, you see that the Prophet knew these things and he used to prioritize. Like for example, in the first 13 years in Mecca, when the Prophet started his mission, almost all the surahs in the Quran that were revealed in Mecca talk about one single thing. There's only one God. Don't worship other gods. That's it. There's no talking about salah or fasting or anything else. But in Medina, when they established Tawheed, now you see all the talking in the Quran in Madani surahs, the surahs revealed in Medina, about Salah, about Zakat, about Hajj. Umar ibn Khattab said, if the first thing the Prophet taught us in Medina was, quit drinking, nobody would have accepted Islam. Thanks be no thanks. Nobody would have accepted Islam. But the first thing he taught us was there's only one God. Then, step by step, gradually, alcohol was prohibited gradually over the years, not from day one. Also, when you read the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, when Muslims wanted to do the Umrah, and the people of Mecca said, go back, we'll do a peace agreement today after so many years of fighting. So when they were drafting the truce, the peace agreement, so Suhail ibn Amr said he protested something. Because the Prophet ﷺ told Ali ibn Abi Talib to write, this is what Muhammad, the Prophet of God, agreed to with Suhail ibn Amr. So Suhail said, I don't believe you are the Prophet of God. If you were the Prophet of God, we wouldn't fight you. So put Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, agreed with Suhail, the son of Amr. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, yeah, you don't have to put the word the Prophet of God, because making peace is more important than the title. And some of the Sahaba were not too happy about this. Abu Bakr and Umar, nobody was happy. But the Prophet ﷺ knew what is going to happen. And in the next few months or years after the truce, many, many people, like thousands of people, accepted Islam during that time of peace. And the Prophet ﷺ knew this, but the Sahaba didn't see this coming. So the Prophet ﷺ knew. In Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ, after opening Mecca, he told Aisha radiallahu anha, if your people, the people of Mecca, are not still familiar with the beliefs of Jahiliyyah, I would have demolished the Kaaba and built it on the original foundations of Ibrahim. Because when they built the Kaaba, before the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Kaaba used to be rectangular. This is how Ibrahim ﷺ built it, but the money that the people of Mecca raised for rebuilding the Kaaba fell short, so they built it as a square, not as a rectangle. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I wanted to build it as a rectangular, but some people will not understand the significance, so keep it as is, because keeping the Kaaba as is more important. Strengthening people's faith in Islam is more important than rebuilding the Kaaba. The last example, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لما أرسل معاذ رضي الله عنه إلى اليمن وقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في البخاري ومسلم حديث صحيح إنك تأتي قوما أهل كتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه أنه لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله فإن قبلوا ذلك فأعلمهم أن الله تعالى قد فرض عليهم خمس صلوات في اليوم والليل فإن قبلوا ذلك فأعلمهم أن الله قد فرض عليهم صدقة يعني زكاة تؤخذ من غنيهم وترد على فقيرهم فإن قبلوا منك فإياك وكرائم أموالهم واتقي دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. حديث البخاري ومسلم. So in this authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu as a teacher and a judge to the people of Yemen. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is what you need to teach people when you go there. 1, 2, 3. So number one, teach them that there's only one God and Muhammad is his prophet. If they accept, teach them how to pray 5 times a day. If they accept, teach them about zakat. We will take some money from the poor, from the rich, 2.5%, and we'll give it back to the poor. And if they accept, avoid the most precious things they have. If they love something so much, when it is time for zakat, don't take it, because it will break their heart. And beware of oppressed people. Because if someone is oppressed or abused and they make dua to Allah, there's no barrier between their dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So which means the Prophet ﷺ is telling him, be just and be fair. The ulama, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, it's an authentic hadith. The ulama, or psychologists, classify the different activities we do on a daily basis into 4 groups. Urgent and important, not urgent, not important, urgent but not important, and important but not urgent. So urgent and important, like salah, when it is time for salah, you have to pray. If you're playing soccer, you're playing basketball, video game, you have to stop whatever you're doing and go make salah. Because salah in this case is urgent and important. Not urgent, not important, like playing video games, for example. If you don't do it, you're not going to die. And you don't have to do it now. You can do it tomorrow, the day after, next year. It's okay. Urgent but not important is like paying your taxes or filing your taxes in March. If you don't do it, you're going to jail. A big time. But for some people who are not true citizens, for them it is not important. I do it because I don't want to go to jail. So it is urgent in March, but for some people it is not important. What is important but not urgent is like buying clothes for your baby when your wife is only 2 months pregnant. Yeah, we're getting there, but we still have plenty of time. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and alimana ma yanfa'una wa yanfa'una ma alimana wa yanfa'una. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. So as I said at the beginning, غالبية المشاكل اللي بتحصل للناس سواء كانوا أفراد أو جماعات أو مجتمعات اللي هو الإخباط الأولويات. يعني الإنسان مثلا لما يقدم هواه على طاعة الله كان يقدم مثلا العمل أو اللعب أو كذا على الصلاة في مشكلة. أو أن الإنسان أو الأسرة تقدم العادات والتقاليد البالية على الإسلام في مشكلة. يعني في ناس قد يجبر بنته أنها تتزوج ابن أخيه اللي هي أصلا ما بتحبوش. خلاص هذه هي العادات، مع أنه في الإسلام محرم أصلا الإنسان يجبر بنته على الزواج من شخص لا تريده. أو على المستوى الدول أو الجماعات أو كذا أنه يقدمون للسياسة مثلا والكلام الفاضي عن طاعة الله. يعني شوف كم دولة في العالم ما يحبوش مثلا انه يطبقوا الشريعة. يعني وتقعد تفكر يعني كيف اداهم الله سبحانه وتعالى حتى انه يقرأوا شرعه بهذه الطريقة. So a lot of people, as I said at the beginning, they have problems in their lives because their priorities are missed up. A big time. Even the four things I listed, urgent, important, not urgent, not important, important but not urgent, urgent but not important, when some people look at the same thing, for them, it could be, for someone it could be urgent, but for another person it is not important or not urgent. Like for example, your wife wants to visit her mother tonight. For her, this is urgent and important. But for you, this is not urgent and it is not important. You would rather go to the movies. You see? So the priorities are different. And in some cases, people don't just, they just don't know about Sharia and they don't know about Islam and they don't know what comes first. Like, I remember one time, one brother took Shahada. Alhamdulillah, people, you know, started, they gave him 1,000 hugs and hundreds of thousands of kisses. Alhamdulillah. And some brother came to me and said, brother, Alhamdulillah, this brother just accepted Islam and he needs to be circumcised right away before he prays. Let's go. Yes. What are you talking about? Where did he get this from? I said, no, priority number one now is to pray and to learn about the deen. Circumcision comes next. It's not a priority now. You know, look at brother, relax, you know, alhamdulillah. So these things happen all the time. So on an individual level, when you put your desire before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the priorities are messed up, you will have a problem. But in some cases, for example, when people sell haram, something prohibited in Islam, to get rich fast. Of course, they're putting their desire before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some cases, to a lesser degree, when you put your wants before your needs. And to explain to you the difference between what you want and what you need, we'll take the Walmart example. So before you go for shopping, most of the time you have a list, 5 items. You need food for yourself, you need diapers for the kid, you need blood pressure and heart attack, attach medicine for your husband, all these things, alhamdulillah. So, but when you come out from your Walmart, you end up having like 65 items. So the 5 items is exactly what you need, you can't survive without it. But the extra 60 items is what you want, not what you need. Like when you go inside, oh, there's a 65-inch TV, LCD. What for? We already have one, but man, it's on sale. We're going to buy it for only $400. I feel like an idiot if I don't buy it. But we don't need it. This is the thing. So priorities are messed up. So this is on an individual level. On a family level, when you put your culture, before Islam. Like say for example, and I've seen this a lot, when someone forces his daughter to marry his nephew, whom she doesn't like, or put it this way, she hates his guts, she doesn't like the guy, she lived her whole life in Canada, she doesn't know the guy, he doesn't speak English, he doesn't know the God. fellowship, and you still want to force your nephew on your daughter. And Islamically, this is not acceptable. Maybe find someone else she likes or whatever to be acceptable Islamically. And some even say it's not acceptable in their culture to marry your son or your daughter from another Muslim from a different culture. There's nothing wrong Islamically if they marry to someone else from a different culture if they are a good Muslim. This is the thing in Islam. Another example, when you marry your daughter to someone who is rich and you don't look for Islam, or you look for a sister to marry and you look at the beauty and Islam, or the fact that she is practicing, is the last thing on your list. This is when you have problems. When a society or community level, you put politics before everything. So for example, in many countries that we know of, we hear about all the time in the news, when they put politics before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some Muslims, they hate Sharia so much, and I don't know what wrong Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to them to hate His law so much. Back home, and we still have problems still this day, in most Muslim countries, we have problems over the many decades, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, because people are not happy with Islam. They are Muslim, but they don't want Sharia. And you see people talking, I don't know what's going on in these people's minds. We have tried everything. Everything in the book we have tried. We have tried communism in the 1960s, socialism, capitalism, secularism, all the isms in there, and we're living a miserable life. The only thing that people need to try is to let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solve their problems. And a lot of people are not happy with this. Just give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a chance. So for you to live a decent and a happy life as a Muslim, this is the solution. You have to know your rights and your obligations and put your priorities in order. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yu'alimana ma yinfa'una wa yinfa'ana wa ta'alamana. اللهم إنا نسألك في هذا اليوم العظيم المبارك أن لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا شاب ولا شابة من المسلمين إلا بالحلال زوجته ولا محروم من الأطفال إلا بأطفال رزقته ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته ولا ظالما إلا قصرته اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا أجمعين وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى to forgive our sins, to accept our good deeds, and to accept from us according to the best of our intentions. Forgive us anything we have done by ignorance, mistake, or forgetfulness. To give us the best in dunya and the best in akhirah. Ameen, ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy and grace on those who built this masjid and those who contain it. Wa aqim as-salah.